What's up? Hey, we in the building. What's up, y'all? Hey, what's going on, y'all? What's up? Welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown. We in the building. How we feeling? Yeah, I know that. That's the throwback. That's mindless behavior. I definitely know the vibes. You already know the vibes. We got to put them on the status of kind of like iconic now, right? In a way, it's like we kind of grew up with them, right? But we're going to get to all of that in a second. Let's get my boy XAB on the live, and we're going to get the show started. But how y'all feeling today? I see a lot of beautiful people on this live today. What's up to Black Culture? The Breakdown. Welcome. All right, XAB, are you on live, my friend? How we feeling, beautiful people? Let's see what's going on here. All right, Lotus. What a throwback. It is a throwback. Sweet Maid, what's up? Official Adam Rick, what's up? I'm here. Cash Up, what's up? I see y'all. Click too fast. Nah, you here on time. Click too fast. Zai Love, nah, you here on time. All right, let's get on the live, y'all. Let's get it. What's up, Talk by T? How you feeling? Monet Energy, what's up? 20 y'all on this live, y'all. What's up? Thanks, y'all, for showing me love. Click that heart. All right, let's get the King XAB on the live, and we're going to get this show popping. All right, XAB, you ready, my friend? So today we got a super dope show. We got Rayon Lopez, man, a.k.a. known as Ray Ray from Mindless Behavior in the building. And we got Black SD Magazine in the building. You know, we got the King XAB in the building. We got the Queen Squats and Splits in the building. It's a dope show. It's a dope lineup. I hope y'all about to definitely get it cracking. That's right. Y'all hear that? That's right. That's right. Black Culture Breakdown is upgraded. We got sound effects. All right? We got to make the show more lit.
Yes!
Because nobody wants to see a show that's corny.
No.
All right, it's time to get lit. All right, X, are you on the live, man? Let's get it a cracking on here. Okay, XAB is not on the live yet. All right, so we're going to jump into just kind of having a conversation about what's happening in the world right now. Have y'all been watching the presidential debates? Okay, hold on. Squats and splits.
Hey.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, pretty
girl? What's up?
Listen, we usually have XAB come on the live first. I actually see XAB's in the building. So.
Well, I got here first, so.
Absolutely. So we'll just first. And what's up, everybody? Everybody let know who you are.
My name is Naima Jackman, a.k.a. Squats and Splits on all social media. I'm a good friend of Jersey's. Thank you for allowing me to come on here because I've been on other shows, you know, but I don't think, is this my first time on here? Maybe my second time.
Nah, it's the second time.
My second time. But I'm excited to be here.
Naima, Cash Up Candace said, this don't look like Ray. Because Ray's not here yet, okay?
His segment. Excuse me. Who's you? We gonna find you.
Let me get started.
Ray's not here. You gotta wait to the end. You know, that's the whole point. If you are really interested, you gotta wait to the end. You don't get the prize in the beginning. You get it at the end, baby, okay?
R&B, what's up, bro? But yeah, Ray's gonna be on, but he ain't on right now. By the way, just gotta shout out my sponsor, God First Apparel. I'm rocking them right now, right? So make sure y'all click on that IG and grab yourself some God. All right, but now let's talk about a few things real quick. You ready to talk?
I'm ready to talk.
Did you watch Rihanna Savage Fenty's fashion show?
I'm gonna be straight up honest. I've been so busy. I did not have a chance to watch it, but I definitely was. I know what we about to talk about because I'm so proud of her. So you know, nowadays with social media. Even if you miss something, you never miss nothing. You could catch up. So,
gotcha.
I know what we about to be chatting about.
All right. Oh, Cash Up, Kenny said, "Yeah, I was playing."
Okay, girl. It's all love, girl. It's all love.
It's all love. We clapping for you. All right. So, let's jump into a conversation there. Rihanna just dropped the volume 2 of Savage Fenty.
Yes.
Showcased it. It had a whole bunch of dope people in the building. And I gotta say, visually, she's unmatched right now. Like, just the creative, you know, Paris did the choreography, a lot of it. She danced in it, well, killed it. You had people like Normani in it. You had people like Big Sean that was a part of it. Lizzo, Paris Hilton was a part of it. It was super dope. And I gotta say that Rihanna's like lifting the ball with how she's doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Her visual, you know what I'm saying? So we gotta definitely shout out to her. Let me ask you this. Do you rock Rihanna's Fenty line or do you wear any of her products?
Listen, no, I makeup, yes. I haven't gotten to the Savage X Fenty yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do things for yourself, but you know, I'm waiting till I have somebody to wear it for. But anyway,
yeah.
I've been looking at her stuff and I actually literally one night, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, I was really thinking about running up my car on her site because I'm really proud of her and her stuff looks really, really, really amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really good. But yeah. I think she did something. She added something recently.
What?
She added a men's portion to her line.
Absolutely. She definitely got that men's portion out. So, you know, fellas, we got to grab that Savage. How you call it?
Savage X Fenty.
Yes.
That's what it is. Don't mess up Riri, okay? Savage X Fenty.
Oh, man. Building.
It's not even just the fact that she added a men's line. I don't know if you guys know. She added, and I hate using the word plus size because I'm like, what plus size to what? But she added, quote unquote, a plus size male model. And honey, I wasn't even looking at the other guys. I was like, yes, I'm so proud of her for even doing that, for even having him there. Because I feel like when it comes to modeling, we need to see ourselves. It's not about being a size one and 5'10". Mm-hmm. I don't look like that. So me looking at the clothes, I'm not going to be like, oh, yes, let me get it. It's not going to look like that on me.
Gotcha.
So she's definitely raised the bar. She shut Victoria's Secret down. Like,
yeah. Rihanna's definitely swag, and I definitely feel like she's upping the bar just with quality. You know what I'm saying? And let's ask about that quality over quantity. How important to you is putting your best foot forward just one time than putting, you know, one effort 10 times forward? You understand if that makes sense? Yeah. What do you think about that? And break that down for me. With the difference.
I think for any professional, you're in business, whatever the case may be, that should be your motto. Quality over quantity. You know, quality lasts forever. No one's going to remember that you sold or you know, hired or did a million and one things in a short period of time and then the quality was bad. You're going to lose all your customers. But if you're constantly saying, okay, everything that I put out there is quality, people are going to remember that. Even think about songs, you know, like there's songs that were hits that were like, oh, this is great. And no matter if the artist passed away, no matter how many years later the song, when it came out, it's still a hit. Absolutely. But if you just rush and put out an album and say, I'm just going to throw out music left and right, ain't nobody going to remember that. Ain't nobody going to remember you. Okay, so it's always quality. Doesn't matter what you do. You're doing someone's hair. You're doing makeup. Yeah. You're doing projects. Quality. No one's going to remember quantity. Okay, you sold 500 products, but they're all trash, and everybody returned it.
Absolutely. Naima, you definitely talking straight facts, right? So you're a choreographer and a creative director and a young boss in the making.
Okay.
Now, talk to me about what you got going on next with your brand.
Ooh, child. So I have a friend, right? And he said, anytime Naima is so quiet, it's either that she's working on something big or she got a new man. I'm single, so I'm technically single. So I am definitely working on something big. People who know me and follow me should know that I have not been posting like I normally do. I haven't been teaching classes like I normally do. But honey, same thing, quality over quantity. Absolutely. Instead of spreading myself thin and doing class and doing this and doing that and putting out trash, I said, let me fall back. Let y'all miss me. Because when I drop this, what I'm about to drop, it's going to be something. It's serious. I don't play over here.
That's right.
I do not play. And by the way, I just want to say my birthday's on Friday, y'all. So
Libra gang. Who's Libra gang?
building. If you a Libra, throw your
Libra gang.
Throw your Libra signs up.
Yes.
All right, Squash and Split, so much for coming in here and killing it with us. For you all Black Culture to break down, we love you. I got to get XAB on here to give us the culture news, but we're looking forward to seeing what you got coming out for us, all right?
Of course. Thank you, guys.
And later.
Bye.
All right, y'all. So that was Squats and Splits, a.k.a. Naima. What up, Dustin? How y'all feeling? Ooh, happy early birthday. They wishing you happy birthday, Naima. All right, let's get the King XAB in the building now. And let's get him on this live to give us the culture news. You can't forget about the news, y'all. Yo, let's drum roll. Hey, there you go. What up, bro?
Yo, what's good?
Man, Squats and Splits actually just jumped in. She just jumped in and they kind of just took up the first slot. But it's all right. Culture news is here. So.
Yeah, I saw.
What's going on, bro?
Chilling, family. How you been?
I'm good, man. Just happy to be alive and happy to be back here on Black Culture to break down. They saying sound effects is fire.
Dustin, what's good? I see you, bro.
Sound effects is fire. And whenever we don't have no sound effects, it's not going to hit.
Nope.
All right. Let's start getting them the news, man. Let's talk to them about what's going on. We just talked about it with Squats and Split.
But Dave, what's going on?
Rihanna just dropped Fenty Savage.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get them draws, dog. They were sold out within the first, like, 5 hours. It was crazy.
Nope.
Yeah, they sold out. You can't get no Fenty draws right now. Can't get that.
What?
The new male line that she came out with sold out immediately.
That's crazy. I need to actually go on the site and go see what's going on. I actually just saw the actual show, and I thought that shit was fire.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the show yet, but just based off of the tidbits that I did see, the show looked amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rihanna's on another level right now. She's in a whole nother creative bag at the moment. And so I'm just really, like Squats and Split said, I'm proud of her. I'm excited to see everything that she does. It's just totally, totally on a new level. So kudos to her. But I'm trying to get them draws. I was trying to get them for my birthday. You know what I mean? Me and Squats and Splits we like 2 days apart. But,
X's birthday's coming up. Make sure y'all throw them happy birthdays. We clapping for you, bro.
You already know. And we got that event coming up. So if you know, you know.
Absolutely. You know. What up, Chatty Boy? It is Black Culture to break down. We appreciate you tuning in, bro.
Now listen, I know we got more people. We have a lot of people in here, and I know y'all are here for Ray. Ray is coming, all right? Y'all not going to do that to me. Y'all not going to sit here talking about some, oh, well, I'm going to just wait. I saw that comment.
Not when they clapping for you, when they tell you happy birthday, bro.
I appreciate the happy birthdays. I'm talking about before I said happy, before I put my birthday out there. But Ray is coming, all right? You know what I mean? We gotta break everything down for y'all first.
Definitely.
But Ray is on his way. It ain't no scam. I know we got a president that lies. Mm-hmm. I know we got a political system that lies. But Jersey don't lie. When he say he got somebody, he got somebody.
I got somebody for y'all, most definitely. All right, so let's go into the first topic, X. The presidential debate, as quick as you can kind of sum it up, we got a few topics to talk about. But the presidential debate, man, that went down between our president, Trump, and the president, I guess we have to be, Biden. Go.
Quickest way to sum it up is a hot-ass mess. I don't know what else you want me to add to that, but it was nuts. Trump was not trying to let Biden have a word in.
Yes.
Biden did better than I expected because, you know, everybody's been speculating about Biden being able to talk and put sentences together and stuff like that. But
Biden was definitely delayed a few times.
He had his moments, but he's done better than he's been.
It was like, respectfully, I was talking about, I was like, oh my God, he needs some help.
Damn.
All right. So, but X, talk to us about what America is feeling right now. What's the word on the street? How is everybody feeling? Do we feeling that Trump is just over the top, or do you feel like that Biden is too weak to handle? What's the words? How we feeling?
Most people that I've spoken to and I've heard from feel like Biden actually did a good job, mm-hmm. and he won the debate. However, I mean, Trump just did a lot of craziness. Trump was all trying to overtalk. Trump wasn't answering the questions. Trump was at one point, obviously, as everybody said, he didn't want to denounce white supremacy. He said, stand down and stand by. So he did a lot of things being a wild boy that didn't work out in his favor, although energetically he had more energy than Biden. But I think that that's kind of really where we are in society. Sometimes people think the louder they are and the more crazy they are, the better their points are. But it didn't work out that way. I think Biden, although, yeah, Biden definitely can be stronger candidate overall. I think Biden did just enough to show that Trump is the wild, crazy person that everyone says he is, and show that he is able to hold his own to some extent. And he has that, like I've been saying, he has at least 2 years in office. And I think he's going to be like, yo, I'm a hand this down to Kamala. But that's my own speculation. That's how I felt, though. I think he did all right.
He didn't even know how to wake up in the morning sometimes. so it's the whole thing is just confusing. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to just pick the worst of the evils, right? So at the end of the day, Trump has to go. If you can't even follow the rules of the debate, then how can you, that means you can't even follow rules of a country. You can't follow rules of just, of leading a country. You understand?
And he couldn't follow COVID rules and he got COVID.
which goes into the next topic. Trump's got COVID. All right, drop in the comments below how y'all feeling about that. Trump's got COVID. Is it a lie?
Yes.
Is it speculation?
No.
How we feeling in the comments below? But X, how we feeling about it?
Me personally, I don't think it's a lie because it definitely goes against all of the things that he's been preaching. He was seen leaving the hospital today and he had a mask on. You know that man don't wear a mask for nothing. But a lot of people do feel like it's a lie. A lot of people feel like they can't trust him. And I don't fault anybody for not believing anything. We're just in a very weird space where people don't believe a thing. I don't think it's a lie, though. I think that he got COVID. I think it's hilarious that he got COVID. And I think that it is going to really affect him presidentially.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I completely agree. The comments are saying fake news. Somebody said, bro, I think he's slowing down the election because he knows he's losing. She goes, yeah, I think it's a lie. Wow, you know what I'm saying? Put me in the lie. Come in another time, though. I'm so mindless. Not today, sweetheart.
nope.
Anyways, but so these shows are growing. Yes, Chatty Boy, they are growing.
Yes.
All right, but X, let's jump into the next thing. Indoor dining is reopening in NYC. Talk to us about that, bro.
Well, I don't know, because 15 minutes ago or about a half hour ago, de Blasio had recently said that there's going to be parts of the city that are going to have to go under stricter COVID restrictions due to the fact that cases are spiking again and we're getting more and more cases. So I don't know what's going to happen with this reopening of inside dining. Inside dining did happen this weekend. I definitely partook in some inside dining. That second wave looked like it might be on its way.
I haven't done inside dining yet. I'm scared, all right?
No.
So, but how did you feel being inside, eating like inside? You understand? Like,
well, I was, it was dope. There weren't that many people inside and we were all spread apart. And the doors and windows and everything were open. The problem is when it gets colder and it's not going to be such an easy transition from the doors being closed and everybody being confined and it being 20% and 50%, things like that. But that 50% is where I think it's gonna get crazy. Right now, everything is still 25%. So 25% of some of these big establishments isn't anything. But when we get to 50%, and like I said, I don't know if that's gonna happen, seeing as de Blasio was saying that this week kind of showed him that they need to scale back again. But yeah, we'll see. I wasn't too upset at it though. It didn't seem too crazy. You know me. I ain't going in there if it looks wild.
All right. They saying, where's Ray? He's coming. We already told you that. All right. Cash Up, you back? Let's clap for him. I like Cash Up. Cash Up's been bringing us good energy for the whole night so far. X, thank you so much for coming on and bringing us news, man. Let people know where they can find you.
So you already know, if you enjoyed this conversation, you can go to the top, click on my name, XAB Music, and follow me. I do a podcast called Dads and Bowties, and we break down politics and entertainment in the most funny, and we call it Sophista Ratchet way. We are the world's most dangerous podcast. So holla at the kid. I know y'all looking for Ray, so let me get my black ass off. Jersey.
Wait, but Ray's not up yet. We still got another guest coming on by the name of Michael, who is the founder of Black SD Magazine. And then Ray will be on. But thanks, X, for coming on, bro. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, facts. I'm still getting my black ass off because I don't want no non-Ray slander. I can't take it. But holla at the kid, XAB. Follow me. I might follow you back unless you was slandering me in the comments. But I'm going to holla at y'all. Take care.
All right. All right, X is out, but thanks, man, for coming on and giving us the culture news. X gives us the culture news every episode, y'all. He's here every episode. He brings us the first segment. But this time, we actually had Naima come on first, but that was just by chance today, all right? So Ray's going to come on, but we got to get Michael in the building, all right? Michael's next. And that was Ray. Let's clap it up for, not Ray, that was X. Clap it up for X. Hey, what's up, Michael?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear and see me well?
Hear you. We can see you. Can y'all hear? Can y'all see?
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Thank you. I thought it wouldn't be foggy, but I don't know. What's something wrong with my phone?
Definitely see you clear, man. What's that culture breakdown, bro?
Oh, no. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So, tell the people who you are and what you do, man.
Okay, no problem. Well, my name is Michael Cox. I'm in San Diego, Southern California, and I started Black SD Magazine because, honestly, you know, ever since with COVID, I have a background in consulting, business development, brand development, and even working in business improvement districts with government entities. And I started to see that when you have all these board of directors, all these organizations, you don't see anyone of color, really, especially Black, you know. So I said, you know, there's something missing. And then I started to think to myself, I said, you know, what's really missing is we're not making enough Black entrepreneurs. The problem is we say, let's support Black businesses, but we don't make enough Black entrepreneurs because in actuality, our community doesn't support dreams. You know, we support you once you made it. But, you know, if you tell me earlier on, hey, I'm about to start X, Y, and Z, we don't really take you serious. And so I wanted to create a platform where, you know, we supported the entrepreneurs. We also support the creatives. And that's a big push for us, you know, from photographers, dancers, singers, even, you know, sculptors, painters, you know, the gamut, because it's just we usually put ourselves in a place where we only support you if your music is good, if you have a good restaurant, or if you have a clothing store, but we don't support you if it's something that doesn't make, if we can't get enough clout behind it. You know what I mean? We only support you that way.
So Mike, you just made such crazy valid points because it's so true that they don't put enough Black entrepreneurs in the front. So you started Black Magazine, kind of break that down for what it actually stands for, Black SD.
Okay. It stands for the SD stands for San Diego. So that's where the Black part. So it's Black San Diego Magazine. I just say SD because it rolls off your tongue better. And that's one thing I tell all my entrepreneurs is that when you even think of a business idea or anything you think you're going to do, it's a little hot out here. So that's why I'm like a little cooking in cooking right there with you guys. you know, I tell them all the time that, you know, behind the magazine, honestly, we have a program I created called Catalyst Black, which is a 3-month free entrepreneur program, which takes you all the way through business development, all the way through securing strategic partnerships or funding. And that's what became the core of the magazine, actually, was that I started saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to take 3 entrepreneurs for a quarter and make sure that they created a network. Because the one thing I realized is that we always want to hop on everybody else's network. You know, we want to make sure that we want other people to validate us. But what if we started to validate ourselves by creating our own network of people that really, that look like us, have the same social, cultural, economic background, even at different parts, you know, everyone has a different type of way to come from life. But if you went through life, instead of trying to knock on someone else's door, where there's a door that's open for you, but that's accepting, that looks like you, and you don't have to feel like you have to change yourself, you know, you don't have to code switch if you don't want to, you know what I mean? So that's what was the really big basis behind it.
Absolutely. Man, you definitely, the live is kind of going crazy right now with just your positivity. That's and everybody's saying amen.
Oh, thank you.
it's the truth. Black voices don't necessarily have a voice. You understand?
No.
And it's really sad because I feel like we are most, and we are the most underrepresented, right? There's a lot of people that do break into the hemisphere, you know, like the Michael Jacksons and the Whitney Houstons, that they do well. But there's many more that are so talented that we'll never see.
If that makes exactly. Sense. No, it does. And not to even like cut you off, but to tell you, you talk about talent. There is one, if you go to Black SD Magazine, you can see on one of our IGTVs, there's a saxophonist. Her name is Angel. She's Afro-Latina. And we even talk about that. You know, we're going to have a discussion with a friend of mine who was actually the NYC Latino Film Festival director, because sometimes we don't even tell all our stories. You know what I mean? We don't connect the, you know, the African-American experience to the Afro-Latino to the African experience. You know, we try to act like it's all the same. And it's not, you know, and colorism affects us differently, you know, how we are spiritually, you know. So one thing I did with her was, you know, because everybody was talking about the song WAP or something, you know, and people going back and forth and degrading. And, you know, and sometimes, honestly, I tell a lot of men, I say, look, we do not need to be in women's business. That's not us. Like, you know what I mean? So instead, let's uplift them. So with her, she's a saxophonist. We actually sponsored a video shoot. So it was just her saxophone. She had this big coat on. And her, we did this really light action. I'll send you the clip. I'll send you the link so you can see it. Absolutely. But I want to tell people that we can be the change we want to see. We don't have to, you know, I don't know what your checks look like. So I'm not going to complain about if I don't like the music you put out. But if I want to show a new narrative, it's going to be upon me to show that new narrative, but not break you down for the decisions you've made. Because you made that decision already.
Absolutely.
So what, especially as a Black man, it doesn't matter. Why would I want to break down another Black woman for her decisions in life? You know, if you're not my closest friend where I could come console and talk to you, I shouldn't tweet, I shouldn't update my status, I shouldn't share memes about you, because we're just adding fuel to the fire. And then we don't become I would say solid. You know, we tell the world to take us serious, but we can't even take ourselves serious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just, we have to just always remember, laws of attraction is very real. So anything that you have, you can always get back. Right away, but it will always come back and get you. That doesn't ever fail. And definitely, you put out a lot of positive energy, which is why you're getting a lot of positive feedback. And I would love for you to actually break down some of your most stories that your magazine has done features on. Tell me your top three stories.
My top three, I would tell you the first one, you know, and I'll say this because these actually reflect our work we do. We just launched our Real Black Men Wear Pink campaign, which featured 16 Black men. And we want to change the narrative, because I heard a lot of Black women say, you know, Black men aren't in charge of, like, you know, you guys don't fight for us. We fight for you. So I said, hey, you know what? For the magazine, if you go there, it went pink. We partnered with the American Cancer Society. So I wanted to show that solidarity where you can have 16 different Black men going on where we are fighting for you. You know, we don't have to argue. We don't have to do it. You told me what was wrong. Let me fix it now. You know, so that one, and they got on Good Morning San Diego, which was great. We got a special commendation and a proclamation in San Diego for our entrepreneur program. So that's super, super great. And then honestly, the last part is just being able to get feedback from the young entrepreneurs and, you know, creatives that say, you know what, thank you. I found your platform has really helped people find me. So that's all I care about. I tell people my method is DHC. It's discover, highlight, and connect. And that's all I care about.
And a lot of times I do that, right? So yeah. The fact that you are a pillar in that sector to kind of help navigate our people through that is key, because you're talented, but sometimes we don't know how to make the money. We don't know how to brand. We don't know how to do the marketing. And we just get lost. So talented. We don't necessarily. So
exactly.
I'm happy that you're on and kind of talk about how this, you know, black stories in general. Black SD in the next 5 years.
Honestly, in the next 5 years, I want to say that I've created, we're already at 10 new entrepreneurs through our program. I want to get to 60 by in the next 5 years. I want to get to that much. I want to say, at least within my mark, honestly, I want to get to 100. I want to say that we've been able to impact your life, not only because we were the program that you went through, but also that means you're connected through 100 other people that have the same types of struggles, trials, and tribulations. And that becomes a network where now if you need something, I can call someone to connect you instead of you trying to figure it out on your own where you're at further in your business.
Absolutely. All right, man. Mike, you're super dope, man. And you gave us everything that we could learn about. What do you have coming up next?
What do we have coming up next? Well, the cool thing is, honestly, for October is All Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But what you'll see for the next part in the holiday falls, we're actually expanding more into lifestyle. So you're going to see a lot more tutorials on like skincare, hair care. You know, we have the entrepreneur part really down packed and great. But even then, we're going to do different things like Black Pitch Day, Black Hackathon Day, where we teach you how to just pitch and give your elevator pitch, not necessarily to an angel investor. But I want to tell someone within 1 minute, you sometimes can make a new relationship by someone falling in love with your story. So I want to make sure that our people are out there knowing how to tell their story correctly, but also professionally and well-branded.
Gotcha. Well, y'all heard it, man. Y'all not following Black Ed, make sure you got to go ahead and it's dope. You know, I'm gonna let you, I guess, talk about that a little bit if you can't.
Oh, I couldn't hear that last part.
I know we're gonna be doing something dope. You want to tell the people we've been working on?
Oh, yes. So I do have some cool things with see the little sound and that stuff. So featuring yourself and then Ray at the same time. So thank you guys for waiting on the line till I got off because, you know, so you guys will be able to see these features. And the cool thing is I do something different, too. I literally design 3 pages of a spread for you. So I make it a little bit more interactive for your audience to actually have something downloadable instead of just an article link.
Dope, super dope. Did y'all hear that? He just said he's doing a feature for both me and Ray in Black SD. So we appreciate it, bro, on giving us knowledge and getting contact, looking to, you know, collaborate.
Oh, cool. If they want to personally, you can find me at Partner with Mike, or if you want to email me, Michael at blacksdmagazine.com. Though our entrepreneur program is here, please always tell people, feel free to reach out to me if you have any kind of questions. We have 2 things that are free through our program. We have a partnership with a black lawyer. So if you have for your first session of 15 minutes free with her, if you need a question about legal matters to your business, that's free, sponsored by the magazine. And we also have a black therapist and trauma specialist. So if you need any help with your mental or spiritual, we have that covered for you.
Wow. Bro, you're a man. You man of many gifts, man, behind and so we appreciate you coming on and talking to us, and I appreciate you for the bro. We're definitely going to stay connected, and we'll talk soon, man.
Thanks so much. Talk to you later. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thank you, man. Bye. All right. So that was Michael, y'all. I know y'all been waiting on Ray, so let me get this queued up. All right. Yo, Ray, this song bumps. I gotta get this in the intro for you. This song bumps. Ah, y'all, I know y'all been waiting. Let's get him in the line. That was Michael. So everything, make sure y'all follow him. Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, man? What's up?
Yeah, right now, man.
Hey, I love that track. I love that track. First, I want to say, Mike is amazing.
Mike,
I'm watching, bro. He's amazing human being.
Mike is amazing. Yes. Mike, man, welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown.
Thanks for having me. As soon as we reached out, I'm like, yo, we got to make this happen.
Nah, we definitely happen, man. Appreciate you coming on and just kind of, you know, sharing some of your life story and where you are now. But just kind of shouting out Black SD Magazine again. They're doing a feature on you and me, so super dope to kind of that happen. And Mike is definitely doing some good work out there in San Diego. Make sure black men stay united. You know what I'm saying? That is.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. I respect that.
Most definitely.
Thank you guys for the love, for sure.
All right, so we're going to get into your segment, man. And you are a culture star on Black Culture the Breakdown. And we're going to take it back to the beginning.
That's good.
You're bringing back out the sound effects. Man, they be going the comments for you since from early, all right? This is a show that we do every week. And we have segments, but they was not trying to let me get to my segments without having you on here. So I'm not, they hype. So let's get into it.
They love me. They love me. I love them. And I love them.
That's a fact.
Yes.
They definitely love you. All right. So let's talk about it. Let's bring it back from the beginning.
Okay.
How did you get, everybody wants to know, you're here now, but everybody wants to know how it started. How did you get into mindless behavior?
Okay. So honestly, first I started off as a hip hop street dancer for a crew out here called Tommy the Clown. I did birthday parties and events. Mm-hmm. And Tommy is like what really shaped like the hip hop crump culture out here in LA, which was a huge, huge movement. So I started with Tommy and I got noticed by a guy that was a friend of the team. He literally, like, they were putting together a group, Keisha Gamble, who also did B2K, mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, I don't know if this kid can, like, sing or rap, but I see him dance. He's, like, he's fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. So, literally, they got in touch with my mom. I auditioned. I was 13 when I auditioned. I auditioned at 13. Literally made the group that night. They're like, we want you. Like, we need you, type thing.
Got you.
So, from there, I was in Compton developing. And just, like, for a year with the group. Learning my group members, getting to know them and like making tracks and choreography and everything. But that's literally how I started. And then
okay. So now, walk us through training though, because I'm a creative director, I'm a choreographer, so I know what it's like to really do.
Oh.
And you get busy. I know from dancing to dancing, you definitely get busy.
Yeah. But
talk to me about how you were able, because I know you guys are all gifted, but y'all really were gifted with the dancing. And I want to know how y'all How y'all really trained on that? Was it natural or did y'all take classes?
No, honestly, we were all just very talented with dancing. That was just like pretty much everyone's strong suit. I grew up dancing my whole life. So like I've been in this world just like being confident in dancing, crump battling, and doing events. And like, and before the group for about 3 years, I was also doing shows where I did ballet, contemporary, modern, and jazz dance. This world of just dance is all I knew for the longest time. So development was like, it was pretty easy when it came to that part. I think it was more hard with creating the music because, at least for me, I had to find my voice while I was in the group.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I was just more interested in dancing, not being singer rapper type thing, but the dancing came easy.
So
I thought Dave Scott was gonna be hard because it's Dave Scott. You know what I mean? You got served under his belt stuff. Yeah, he's done so many big films, and our styles are actually so similar. It was easy for me to adapt. Other, Pride, he was able to adapt easily.
All right. Yo, Dave Scott is super dope, by the way. The fact that you even got to work with people like that is just, like, sickening. Because it's just like, come on, that's like a dream. Who hasn't seen you got served? So now, how did you find your voice in music, in Mindless? But how did you start to develop, like, all right, I think I understand, what my niche is in the group, and I've kind of found my voice. How were you able to do that?
Honestly, I allowed the team to take the lead. I didn't really care to be like in the front or, I enjoyed my position. I was the pretty boy that sung the backgrounds and danced, growing up, I did rap. I would always write and be into like writing and things like that. So if you ever got a chance to listen to the second album, I rapped a little bit. But like they wanted me to do much more rapping during the second album. But I, honestly, I just wasn't interested. Like I enjoyed the fact that like Rock was the rapper. You know what I mean? And like it wasn't affecting my bag. Like I could be the lead singer and rock and rap, and I still get the same exact money that they get. You know what I mean? Like so I enjoyed my position too, and plus I was starting to like fall in love with my own style and sound of music. So I didn't want it to like I didn't want to really station a vocal point in that group, knowing that eventually when I go solo, I'm going to be creating something that isn't possibly like this at all, you know?
Gotcha. So let me ask you this. How important is it to be dope at what you do? Like when you were in Mindless and you see, you know, you got Princeton, you got Prodigy, you got Rock, and everybody's, you know, dope at what they do. How important is it to be dope at what you do to make sure, you know, that you guys are a powerhouse? You know, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it does. Everyone has to carry their own weight. That's always most important. I was talking to my friend Sasha. We had a conversation. It was more on a deeper scale, but he was like, everyone tries so hard to be the dollar, to be the one. He was like, but imagine if it was for you and you were all the quarters and you guys made up a dollar. Imagine how powerful the collective could be. You get what I'm saying? And I'm just using that analogy to say, if you could just bring your 25%, but be 100% at it, if that makes sense, bro, that dollar together is going to look so beautiful. It's going to look so whole. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I feel like it worked with a lot of different creatives. You know what I mean? Like, there's artists that are really tight. We have Quavo, you have Offset, but like, come on, without Takeoff? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Migos is what we fell in love with. No matter what they do individually that we're going to still love, it's the collective that we love.
Absolutely.
You know? And because they all play their part. They all play their role. They all have their own styles. And we love that. So it's very important to just be strong. If you know you're a strong suit of dancing, dance your fucking ass off.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, if you know yours in vocals, like, bro, sing.
Dang. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes. That's right. You know, Ray, you're talking a lot of facts, man. And you know, just from a creative to another creative, you definitely put the work in as a kid. And I can respect it because I teach kids. I know what the discipline takes. I just know what it just to get up every morning to go to these rehearsals when you don't feel like dancing, you don't feel, you know what I'm saying? You're 13, 14, I know what it is. So the fact that I was before I got you on here, I definitely did a little bit of research and I was like, wow, yeah, I was really working. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really was working and just, in the studio, just really killing it. Was super inspiring, actually, to watch. So let's jump into a little bit later on when Mindless actually blew up and you realized you were a celebrity. When did you officially realize, like, yo, I'm actually famous?
Honestly, it wasn't overnight, but I saw the change happen. But we would like go to certain states and it was more fans, but we still see original faces. So I realized like we were building like a cult fan base. But it still took me a while to adapt to it. I think the moment I could really think of is, I forget the name of the event, but we got to perform at the White House for the Obama family.
Wow. That was like, that's crazy.
Like not in an arrogant way, but I was like,
that's
I'm here. You know, like that's literally what I thought. Like, damn, like, all right, we're doing it
with the Obamas. You know what? Was that a daughter plug? Was it the daughter's like, we want Mindless? Was that what happened?
Yeah, so they're big fans of the group, and it's like a show that goes on in DC for Easter. I forget the name of it exactly. So they're like, yo, we want Mindless here. So, you know, we just thought we were going to go, you know, just perform type thing. But we actually got to go in the White House, meet the family, take photos, mingle a little bit. But it was, like, that moment was, like, so, so crazy for me. Like, I had to call the family, like, mom, hey. Like, you can't even believe it. I'm at the White House type thing. We have a photograph of it, too. It was so sick. And then we actually ended up performing for the family and being around the family a few times after that. As well, like for Michelle events and, you know, just different things like that. But the first time it happened, I was like, okay, we're doing something.
Got you.
Wow. You know, like.
Wow. Man, you, to be performing at the White House for the Obamas, you know, that's the black president we've ever had. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And
Ada is looking right now, it's looking like we got to go through another 4 years of another white man, whatever it is. And then we're going to have to wait again to see if we could, you know, try to get somebody else black in the building. But, you know, it, but the fact that you were a part of it, that means the next time, like, you're, we're going to all be old. But, you know, hopefully that's not the case. As a black president. But, man, you were a part of history for that. That's super dope. And inspiring. So talk to us about, all right, you've done so much. You did the whole boy band thing. Talk to us about someone that wants to be successful in this industry. All right. You have been successful at this. And a lot of people want to make it at this. What is your advice to someone that has no experience? They don't know what they're doing. This is their first time kind of getting in the room and be like, yo, I know I can do music, but I just don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah. I think first it has to start within. You must be confident in your talents. And you can't allow anyone to put a glitch in that. You can't allow anyone to make you lack at all. Because as soon as you show weakness in this industry, it spread. Mm. One person see you weak, they're going to tell the next person and the next and the next. So I think first it start within. But if you really believe you have a talent and this is what you want to pursue, just grow your craft. Don't be afraid to get in the mirror and try new dance moves. Don't be afraid to write down lyrics, even if they sound stupid. Try them. You get what I'm saying? Like, don't just think you're cool already, because there's too many people that think they're already cool. You're not. There's always someone out there greater than you. There's always someone out there better than you. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. When there was a time when James Brown was here, they were like, it doesn't get better than James Brown. And then fucking Michael Jackson came and moonwalked. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to be confident and just keep developing your craft. And I would say right now with the industry.
Go ahead. But Michael Jackson is a student of James Brown, though. So he learned James Brown, and then he was able to level it up and while paying homage. You know what I'm saying? So that was that part up.
Exactly. And then I would say, too, right now, with how the music industry is, I know it's going to take much more work. Be independent. You don't need labels today. You don't need them. You understand? Like, you can literally touch the world right through your cell phone. You can literally affect the world alone, by yourself. You know what I mean? I get it that $2 million, $4 million sound cute. You know what I mean, to put in your pocket. But a lot of kids don't understand, like, all right, you signed for $4 million and the tax is gonna hit you for 30%. So you only really walk away with like 2.7, whatever the math is, you know what I mean? And now you're investing in your own career, but you're trying to live the lifestyle. You got the cars, you got the houses. No. Don't be afraid to start from the bottom.
Absolutely.
Again, people try too hard to look cool. They feel like they gotta be bust down with diamonds. And they got to, you know what I mean? Bro, if you're not there yet, you don't got to be there. Run this over with your talent.
Absolutely.
Post your own music. Look at, bro, so Lil Uzi, SoundCloud. Started from SoundCloud. Lil Tech, like, bro, there's so many artists that are doing it. You know what I mean? That just started from the bottom. Don't be afraid to start from the bottom.
I got you. That's real. So let me talk to you about this then. So I know that was the pros of being independent, but then now the pros of having a label, I'm going to play devil's advocate just to kind of hear your response. get the dope advance, right? And you get the multiple record deals. And, you know, even though they give you all this money up front and you got to pay back when you start doing the damage on the bill, but, you know, somebody from the hood that's never seen nothing before, but for them to turn down $2 million up front, it's just almost like, and you're 18 or 17 years old.
Yeah.
How is that, you know, so break that down a little bit for how somebody should deal with a situation like that.
Honestly, it's a very hard situation. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up in South Central LA. You know what I mean? So I came from nothing. I grew up in an apartment building with 28 units, the gutter, you know. So even the money I started to make with the group was like, it was beautiful. I'm done. A kid, 13, 14, 15, never thought I would be making that type of money. So I understand it's so hard to turn down money like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're trying to help your family, friends, whatever the situation is. I would say if you do take that deal, just be smart. If you really love rapping or singing and you take that advance, invest into rapping and singing. Don't invest it into the image of trying to look flashy.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And like you did all that and they realize you haven't even dropped the album yet, which you owe the label. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, and so I get that it can be hard. So if you do make that choice, just be smart. Be very conscious. Don't be naive.
Absolutely.
Because like, not like that, but like at the same time like that. The white man is smarter than you in that world.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, you're coming from nothing with just a talent. They're coming from a real organization. You know what I mean? They've done it with 1,000 artists before you, 1,000,000 artists before you. So their contract is sealed. There's, you know what I mean? Like, you have no leeway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you do it, really know that you're doing it because you're trying to grow your career. Yeah. Not because you want to say you have $2 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You're dropping a lot of jewels right now. Who's Ray listening to right now, man? Who are your top three favorite artists right now?
Oh, favorite artist. I honestly, I've really been getting into rap right now. So if we just go with rap, I would say Roddy Ricch, Lil Durk.
Okay.
Youngboy.
Who's the last one?
Youngboy, NBA Youngboy.
Oh, NBA Youngboy. Okay.
Yeah. I think they're doing it. I think they're true. You know what I mean? You got a lot of rappers out here just rapping for sides. Wait, say it again.
Like Lil Baby?
Oh, of course. Lil Baby go crazy, Gunna. But everybody on that whole squad is going crazy. Like, anybody Thug Touch goes crazy. Yes. You know what I mean? Because there's so many. Like, I just listened to the Metro and Savage tape, Savage Mode too. Like, bro, like, I was just like, damn, like, niggas are out here going crazy right now. They're not holding back.
They definitely now. I gotta say, music, I definitely think it's kind of tipping back for the better. I feel like for a while it was kind of getting into this weird space, and I was like, I don't know what's happening with music right now, but I feel like everybody's kind of bringing it back to authentic. Rappers is really trying to rap again. I think vocalists is really trying to sing again. So, you know, it's not so like watered down.
For a long time, I didn't even listen to rap for a few years because of that reason. Like, I was back on like my alternative rock and experimental sound, and not until recently, maybe like a little bit over a year ago or about a year ago, I got into rap because of what you just said. I started seeing artists realizing like, okay, sounding like each other is not cute no more. Let's, you know what I mean, like, let's actually get in our bag and express ourselves in a way that we know is dope.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I'm glad melody came back in rap though. I'm glad that came back in rap. Like, I feel like it had died for a small period of time. Like 50 Cent did it well, of course. Like 50 Cent killed melody rap. It was a lot of people doing like melody rap, but I'm glad it's back. People aren't afraid to rap or be vocal with it.
Definitely. I think music is definitely taking a turn for the great. What do you think about female in rap right now? There's a lot of girls that's taking over the airways. We got Cardi and Meg and Edie and Mulatto and all these ladies. What do you think about females in rap right now?
Well, one, I love Meg. I think she's the sexiest fucking woman ever. seriously, I love it. I love it. Honestly, women are just taking over in general. And I love that. You know what I mean? Like, I love that shit so much. But just in the rap game, like, do it. Do it. I'm glad that they're able to express themselves and not be shamed for it. And they can talk their shit just as graphically as men do it. You know? And I like that. I like that because I feel like You know what I mean? If you want to sound cute, do that. If you want to be vulgar, do it. We should all be able to do it. You know? So, honestly, I'm loving it right now.
All right. Shoot. They definitely doing their thing in music right now. So talk now about how you build connections, right? And how important it is to cultivate connections. You know, so because, you know, a lot of people are trying to be successful out here in this game. And sometimes they don't even realize you don't even have to be as talented if you know the right people. But, you know, even though you should cultivate your talent because that's, let's be fair about it. But
yeah,
how do you build and cultivate connections?
I would just say, not just for me, but for anyone, step out. You know what I mean? Be present in these events that you know are going to have faces. You know what I mean? If they're going to be helpful, and don't be afraid to introduce yourself. Don't be afraid to shake someone's hand and say, "Hey, I'm Rayon, and this is what I do." Mm-hmm. Because that handshake might mold your entire life from that point on. You know what I mean? I think too many people put other idols or, you know what I mean, whoever they're looking up to on this pedestal. At the end of the day, we're all human beings.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm very humble. If you see me, say hi, talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, because if I can help, I'm going to try to help as much as possible. And you don't know who's out there willing to do that. Like you mentioned Little Baby, and like I watched a statement or like an interview where they were like, Thug paid him not to be in the hood. You know what I mean? Because he believed in him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it's just like little things like that. Like, you don't know who hand you're going to shake that's going to help you in the future. Or really just believe in you in that moment and give you a chance. You know, and don't be afraid to. People get so greedy with connections because they feel like, oh, I got it. No. Just like knowledge, the best thing you can do with it is share it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I remember when I first like really became spiritual and enlightened. For a second, I was just like, wow, like I was accumulating all this knowledge and I felt powerful. But then I felt most powerful when I started to share it with the people I love. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And do that with your connections. Do that with the people you trust. And don't be afraid to, you know, just help out the next person. My, 2 days ago, my cousin Darnell, it was his birthday. We went to dinner. He's a photographer. He's like, he shot for BET at their events. Like, you know, he's really making a name for himself. So he had a really big dinner, and at the end, he made everybody introduce themselves, tell the table what you do, and share your Instagram. He's like, because, you know what I mean? He's like, look, Ray's an artist. He's like, my boy right here shoot videos. He's like, they might connect and create something beautiful. You know what I mean? That's just an example to say, like, don't be greedy. Don't be greedy at all.
That's called networking across. You know, a lot of times people might...
Exactly.
My boy X that was on here always tells me it's important to network across. Don't try to network up. A lot of times you try to network like, oh, he's more popping or he's whatever. Let's go to, but we are all united. And if we actually was to collaborate with each other, we would still make the same magic that these same executives can do if we just put our resources together.
Bro, it's really that simple. Like, it's that easy. Like, people just get so caught up in ego. That's the biggest downfall of anything. Ego will literally ruin your entire life, your entire world, your entire dream, desire, whatever, you know, like once you become super egotistical, like you're the man or you know what I mean, and you get too hungry, you're gonna fail. We watched it happen with so many artists, we watched it happen with so many companies. You gotta know how to be humble in this game. You know, all like 24/7. I say this a lot, but like personality takes you further than talent.
Absolutely.
Any day.
Absolutely. That's straight facts, Ray. And a lot of times we have to get out of our comfort zones as well. And we have to put our best foot forward. A lot of times people think, well, I'm dope at what I do, so I don't have to really work at it. Or I'm dope at what I do, so they should reach out to me. You know, there's a lot of different... Yeah. You know, a lot of different ways we can go about handling how we should just be present for our careers. But I think a lot of times we get lost in, like you said, ego. And that's what separates us from greatness, which is actually what Seth, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I appreciate you actually dropping
the knowledge. Make sure y'all taking notes. I know there's a lot of y'all in this chat that probably want to be an artist. And yo, Ray, look at my mixtape, or even me, people send mixtapes and stuff. And I, so I know for a fact that you probably get a whole bunch of people that want features.
And I actually go listen.
And you actually listen,
bro. I literally like. So I'm trying to get much better at social media, and so you know I'm like checking DMs and things like that.
Okay. And
like even how I came across your, you know, your direct message, you know, like it was just me. It was me checking, and I'm glad I did. Yes, I get people like, yo, listen to this, and I'll literally give them true criticism. Like, look, I think you're really good at this. Try this on your vocal. I see that it's more bland here. Try a bit of reverb. Like I'll critique you just to be honest, but also it's more so to help you. You know what I mean? And everyone appreciate it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Everybody in this audience that wants to be an artist, drop in the comment box whatever questions you want to ask Ray. And we can actually do if you want to take a few questions, Ray, from some of these people here, or just how to be successful. All right, so then, you know, drop in the comment box if you want to ask Ray a question. And then, you know, I'll definitely make sure we get you guys asked and answered up. So now, Ray, jumping back into Mindless Behavior, the ending of Mindless Behavior, break that down for us. Like, what happened?
So kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Rap got kicked out. And that was kind of hard for me because that was like my boy. Mm-hmm. We both grew up in South Central LA, Crenshaw and Florence. Like, we literally grew up in the same hood Nipsey grew up in. Mm-hmm. And I have family from there, you know? So that was like my boy. His family is right around the corner from me. So when he got kicked out of the group, it was just, for me personally, it was just hard, you know? Then Prodigy left. So now it's literally just like me and Prince. At this time, we're not touring or anything. Like, the tour's over. And we don't know what's going on. They find two new members who I'll just be completely honest, extremely talented. But like I've said this before, Mind's Behavior is Prodigy, Rock, Ray, and Prince. It's that fucking simple. You know what I mean? So they brought in these two new guys, and it was whatever. I wasn't feeling it. I didn't care for any other music at all. I remember, it's kind of a funny story, but I remember we went to Atlanta and R. Kelly had records for us. I remember we were there for, I can't remember if it was like a week or two. I think it was like 2 weeks. And I didn't record anything. I just wouldn't. And it wasn't because of, oh boy, the energy was weird, but still, it was just, I wasn't feeling the music, you know what I mean? Like, it was just things we were talking about it, but that just didn't feel like it was present to our actual lifestyles, you know what I mean? Like,
so now, walk me through how old you were at this time, right? So I know, okay, when you started Mindless, how old were you then?
I was 13, but we didn't hop out into the world until I was about 14.
14,
all right. So like a year later, like 14 going on 15. Gotcha. So now we're touring 14, 15, 16. This happened when I was about 17, possibly about to go into 18.
Gotcha.
So I remember I left the group when I was like 18. I want to say 18, 19.
Got you.
So around the time, I was like, yeah, I'm like 17, about to be 18. And it was just like really weird for me. And I just felt really uncomfortable. Then we went to Miami to work on more records. And that situation was just, it was so trash. And again, I didn't record anything there at all. So I finally came back to LA. And also at the same time, I'm working on my own music, you know, venturing out, trying to do my own thing, just experimenting with my own sound. But my main focus was a clothing brand at the time. I had like a high-end brand I was doing. Like better than I expected. So like once we were like on this break because Pride and Rock were gone, I'm just like doing my own thing. I'm getting into modeling, making crazy bags. You know what I mean? So now Rayana's at the forefront, and then y'all calling to tell us we got two new members in this group that we haven't been working on in months and months and months. You know, it was just an odd situation. And what led me to leave, I was already thinking about leaving anyway, but then I was in a terrible car accident. And literally that was like such an eye-opener for me. I went home after my accident, scheduled a call for the whole group and all my managers, everybody. And if I'm not mistaken, I left the exact day my accident. I was like, I can't do this. It was just like a moment. It was a moment for me where I was just like, damn, like if that was my time, I wouldn't have been happy because I wasn't able to express my creative ability.
Gotcha.
Yeah, wow. And I did in the group, and a lot of people know this already, but like even Pride, like we help with choreography, you know what I mean? Concepts, ideas were ours, you know, wardrobe, just little things, and we just weren't getting, you know, recognized for it. Mm-hmm. We were just like the brand. We were like, you know, puppets, whatever, and that's another thing I didn't like. Like, you know, if the fans are on here that had the first album, inside the book, there's drawings of each one of us. I literally did those drawings by hand. You know what I mean? God, you know what I mean? It was just like a lot of stuff that we were doing and like interpreting that I just felt like a lot of us should have got more credit for. And I'm a Capricorn. So like, when I work hard at something, I want to be recognized for it because I put my work ethic into it, you know? So that's what led me to leave. That was like the ending for me.
So now, how was that to like let, because you know, Princeton was still there. So how was it for him with you just being like, all right, well, this is it for me now. And with him kind of still standing with, I guess, the other two members.
I think it was, I haven't really had a chance to talk to him about that. But I can only believe he was possibly hurt.
But okay.
I think in my defense, one's well-being is most important.
Okay, most definitely.
You have to take care of yourself first.
Most definitely. You know?
Then also with knowing Prince and just knowing how he is, as long as he's being seen, he's okay. You know what I mean? Because clearly it didn't bother him too much because he continued on. You get what I'm saying? So it was just like, if that's what you want to do, by all means, go do it. Go get your bag. Because I'm not about to hate on nobody going to get their bag. We all trying to eat. You know what I mean? But I was more so focused on myself because I had to.
Now, where, did you get support leaving the group? Did you feel like you were supported?
No one wanted me to leave. Like, no one, even my mom, like, she supported my decision, but she still begged. She's like, Ray, like,
What was it that made them feel like you shouldn't leave? Because if you felt like it was a, because I could tell it was a spiritual disconnect for you. You understand? Yeah. I have no interest in you. I could just definitely tell just by off your vibes now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is it that makes everybody so attached to you being Ray Ray in Mindless Behavior that everybody, because even now in the comments, everybody's going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, going crazy. You know what I'm saying? So what is it that you think that has that attraction?
I think everybody played a key role in the group, but for me, I think even through the blurred lines, you can see honesty. You can see genuineness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can tell when someone's pure. So I think it was beyond the talent. It was the personality. It was the demeanor. It was the cadence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think we all brought a lot to the group, but just speaking for myself, I just, and not in an arrogant way, but I've always saw myself as powerful. Which everyone should. You know what I mean? It's okay to be humble, but know your worth.
Absolutely. You know?
And I think that's what it was. To where you can do little things and it catch on because you just have that power. Like I was literally wearing goggles for fun and it caught on. You know what I mean? Like I was wearing two braids my whole life, it caught on. Everybody else's name in the group was made for them. I've been called Ray Ray since I was born. You know what I mean? It was like one of those things like, don't change me. I'm going to be, you want Ray Ray? Here's Ray Ray. You know what I mean? And so I think that's what it was.
Man, I definitely feel like you have a brand that will, 20 years from now, we're going to still be at. You're like, what happened to Ray Ray? We love Ray Ray.
Oh yeah, of course.
I just
like it's kind of like immortalized now in a way that, you know, like, so it's like almost beyond you, right? If that makes sense.
Yes.
The facade. But I guess it's you. So, but now this brings me to our next question. We know Ray Ray. So now break down to us who Rayon is and who you are as an artist now.
Rayon is no longer the puppet.
Mm.
Rayon's the master this time. I'm not holding back. I'm going to be as pure. I'm going to be as raw as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear that when I drop the album, like everything I talk about, there's no facade in it. There's no lie in it. It's all, it's just all real. And I'm talking about everything, you know, little things about the group, where I come from, you know what I mean? My relationship with my brother, so many, majority is relationships I have with women. So I know a lot of these girls gonna be possibly mad, who knows? But you know what I mean? That's not my problem. I have to tell my story, you know? And I think that's I think that's who Rayon is. You know, Rayon isn't a gimmick. It's almost like a cartoon character. Like every time you see SpongeBob, like, you know, he's gonna be square with the same pants. I feel like that's what the two braids and the goggles were.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get to be me. I can wear my hair in a bun. So, I can do curly hair if I want. I can do whatever I want.
The two braids and the goggles was not anything you wanted to do.
No, it was something that I wanted to do, but mm-hmm. then it became something that I had to do. You know what I mean? That's why I related it to like a cartoon. Like they don't change up. And okay. I think that's what that's what I'll talk about with the music, why I wasn't filming the music anymore, because like I said, I'm 17, 18. And we're like talking about getting a hickey on our neck. Like, yeah, dude. At the time, seriously, we found Mrs. Right goddamn 10 times.
I got you.
And dumped them, you know what I mean? And cried about it and fixed it or whatever. Like, you understand, we were young men. We grew up on the road. Our lifestyle was out of this world. You know what I mean? And you're still trying to keep it.
The fans want to know about the lifestyle. Man, I want to know about the lifestyle. So, yes. Absolutely.
I want to know.
So wait. Oh, just break this down for us now. Just you being 13, 14, 15, and traveling from country to country to country and just seeing all these different beautiful women and just seeing all these different fans that are embracing you, even just being a black man being outside the country. Talk to me about all of that, man, all that experience.
Listen, like, first, leaving the hood and traveling majority of the world was just a beautiful thing.
Gotcha.
Opened my eyes in so many ways. When it came to the women, I'll just say, we started touring when I was 14 until like I was like 19 with no pants. Like, what do you think is going on? We're wild. There's, in a way, like, there's nothing you can tell us. We're living our life. You know what I'm saying? There's definitely some wild stories out there for sure. It was just, and life was fast. We had to mature very fast because we were in the industry. We're in a game that is grown men. And we're teenage boys, and we have to play with them. You know what I mean? It was like being on the court for, like, Bron and AD right now. If you're on the court with them, you got to show up.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's how I felt like our life was. Like, we were competing with, because we're the youngest group out at the moment. You know what I mean? We're kind of like the youngest act besides like Willow in a sense at the time. So like we're competing with the Chris Browns, the Miguels, the, you know, whoever was hot at the moment, who's been in the game longer than us and have more experience in age than us. So like we had to grow up really, really quick. And I think traveling the world and just having anything handed to you, it just kind of comes with the territory. You know? So that's what it was.
Absolutely.
That's a clean version.
So let me ask you this now. Just now, we're going through that lifestyle and then having to take it back down and just being like, all right, everything kind of slowed down. Because I'm not sure at one point you guys were at skyrocket high. You know, it's, and then everything kind of came down to a halt at a point. How was that adjustment for you?
Honestly, and I'm going to just be completely real with you, I don't think it ever slowed down. I had to allow myself to slow down.
Got you.
For me, personally, the outside world is still the same. Like, if I go to the mall, I still get noticed and I still take so many photos. You know what I mean? Like, everywhere I go. And like, so that lifestyle is still the same. But I, once I became spiritual and I started to look within, I personally had to step away and humble myself and distance myself from that lifestyle for a second. Just, like I said, for my own well-being. Like, people don't know, like, I lived in Indiana for, like, about two years after I left the group. Just because I didn't want to be in this scene.
Gotcha.
LA thing, you know what I mean? And, like, so I literally, like, had to step away the best I could to slow my life down so I could really focus on what I want to do, who I want to be. Because I always knew I was going to step back out. But who am I going to step back out as? Am I just going to continue the Ray Ray gimmick? Or, you get what I'm saying? So I think it was more so for me. But the lifestyle is still very, very quick. Like, everything is still very accessible. You know what I mean? Down to the connections, if you want the women, if you want the drugs, whatever, it's all still there. It's not going to go anywhere. Yeah, you got to just put yourself in the position. You
know? Yeah. Most definitely, man. So now jumping into a question I've seen fans is asking, would you do a reunion if possible? Would you get back into doing a reunion with the group?
I would do a reunion if the bag is right. That's one. Do I personally care to do a reunion? Not at all. If I did do it, it would be because of the bag is right. And, of course, for the fans, the supporters, you know what I mean? I think they would really appreciate that. They would love that. And I'll do anything for the supporters. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So those would be my only two reasons, honestly. But I feel like I wouldn't even feel completely comfortable until Santo got out. I feel like it has to be the whole original group.
So it got to be the whole group for you to make it happen, for you.
I think so. I'm not gonna say yes completely, but I think so. I just feel like it's only right. Like, what's a true reunion tour without Rock?
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
And I'm not gonna share how much time he got, but I know how much time he got. So it's like, I feel like if we gotta wait it out, we gotta wait it out. You know what I mean? Like, we can't replace him. That's not a real reunion tour, you know. Like, it got to be all four members. We got to give the people what they really want, what they really deserve.
Definitely, man. Hopefully we going. The fans is definitely going crazy. They saying period, Ray. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it got to be that way.
They definitely want that. Let's actually jump into some questions. I got some questions on my back end. Listen, if y'all want to ask some questions on how to break into the industry, we're taking them. I got a few in the back. So let's jump into this first one right here. From Official Adam Rick asks, who are your inspirations?
My inspirations? Honestly, I would say one is a group from the 90s called Portishead. I love Portishead. I think they came into the game so original that they shifted the 90s with the sound that is very present even today in hip hop. And they were a rock band. You know, like, I love it. I just think originality is always inspiring. I would say like, for real, Tyler the Creator, because they're unafraid.
Gotcha.
I think I love artists that are completely unafraid. They don't mind trying new things. That's why I also mentioned Roddy. Not only is he like, he rapped, but he's a melody rapper, but he's not afraid to do what he feels.
Mm-hmm.
And gotcha. I think that's fire. I think that's literally fire. Like, he had the whole world, like, you know what I mean? Just off of a feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I get inspired by things like that.
Absolutely. All right, super dope. All right, we got a few more questions down here. Let's see what's going on here. All right, here we go right here. From Note Monet Energy. So how do you get noticed by music producers?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier, being, don't be afraid to reach out, to shake the hands, you know? On my album, I have two records by a kid that I want to say he's 16 or 17. He's from France.
Gotcha.
He's really from France. Like, he reached out to me. I was like, yo, I think this would be perfect for your sound. I listened to what you dropped so far. Here we go. And literally, he created one track, which is called Ice. That's already on my page. And then I even reached back out to him like, yo, I need another track, but this is what I need. So just don't be afraid to reach out.
Gotcha. All right. Well, somebody's saying, can we get some merch? I don't know if they're asking if they, I'm not sure if you can get a merch or if you're going to be dropping merch. I'm not sure which one they're asking.
I'm definitely going to be dropping merch. So be on the lookout. I have everything for you guys.
Okay. All right. And then here they go. Well, we just answered this question. Would it ever be a reunion tour? Well, you said if the bag was right. So you already answered that.
If the bag is right.
Let me see that back here. By the way, y'all should be asking questions that can actually be beneficial. Y'all asking questions that is definitely not relevant back here. All right.
Hey, man, they're interested. They just want to know.
Yeah, your fans are definitely crazy. They definitely want to know. They like, they want, I see all these, I can't put these questions up here.
I'm already knowing. I know. I be on live sometimes. I be seeing it. I'm like, oh, you wild.
Oh, here it goes. It's a good one right here. Here goes a good one. Monet Energy again. How do you calm yourself down?
Oh, honestly, I wake up every morning at 6 a.m. and I do yoga to start my day. I think that's best for me. Meditation literally changed my life. And, you know, if you're out, because everyone's dealing with shit every day. Don't forget to breathe.
Absolutely.
Just relax and breathe.
Don't forget that, man. So let's kind of jump into this. What new skill have you developed during quarantine, bro? What have you learned? What you been working on? Well,
a new skill.
Yeah.
Damn. That's a good one, too. What is a new skill? I'm not even sure. Honestly, like, I've been quarantined, but, like, I've also just been in the studio a lot and, like, working on the project.
Got you.
I'm not sure if I developed a new skill. I've been getting back into dancing a lot.
Got you.
So I've learned some new damn moves for sure. I got some shit under my belt right now, but I'm not sure if I have a new skill, honestly.
Okay. Well, you know, you was working on dancing, man. That's still staying in shape. I'm out of shape, man. I'm about to drop a project tomorrow that I'm actually excited. I'm doing my first class back, actually. I have a school called Lotus Creations Academy out here in New York. Class back, like teaching again. So, and I'm collaborating with Carnell. He was a part of B5. Well, he is a part of B5. He was on last week, actually. So it's actually super dope to kind of have like a boy member and a boy member of a band kind of come
both. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of hear two different perspectives of different stories, boy bands. But you know, lit, man, we gotta get you whenever you come into New York, man. We gotta get you out here to the studio to come teach a master.
Bro, I was just about to say that. If I'm ever in New York, let's teach a class together. I love that.
Do it, bro.
Love that. That'd be so hard.
Let's definitely do it. Yeah, they saying Carnell on here. Definitely, most definitely, y'all. So, all right. I have a lot of questions back here. What happened? Okay, here we go. This is a good one right here.
What's your favorite song from Minus Behavior?
Yes.
My favorite song from Minus Behavior has to be Future. It's a song that we used to perform a lot called Future. Or there's a track from the second album called Band-Aid, which is fire. Fire song. Fire song. Then you could never go wrong with, like, Used to be hit.
Yes.
Of course, Mrs. Right, like, come on, that's the banger. Mrs. Right was the banger.
Definitely. Bro,
I heard that song recently the other day. My son, he's, like, really big on Minus Behavior right now. Like, I don't know why, but, like, he's been on it for like so many months now. But he was playing it, and I caught myself actually listening. I was like, damn, this song is so good.
Yeah.
This song is good as hell. Like, Diggy went crazy. Like, it was like almost, it was like an epiphany for me. I was like, because I heard it so much. But you know, like years later, you hear it again. You're like, damn, this sounds crazy. Like that's how I feel about yeah. Mrs. Wright recently.
Yeah, Mrs. Wright is definitely fly. That's what I came in. I played that. I put that on the flyer, and I'm growing. I still Mrs. Wright is definitely still a bop.
Mrs. Wright go crazy, bro.
So now, young June 4 is asking, are you and the other members still friends?
Yeah, me and Proc, we keep in touch all the time. I literally just talked to him like 2 days ago. I finally got to talk to Santo Rock recently because we did talk for a little while and he hit me up from jail. So now we stay connected. Always, you know, checking in, just making sure he good. You know what I mean? Because like, I got family that spent so much time in jail and, you know, shit like that. So I just know how it can be. So, you know, I'm just like supporting him, throwing him bread when he needed, you know, just making sure he good. So yeah. We're still connected. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did somebody ask you what's your hair type?
No, somebody else asked me this question. I don't know. I literally don't know. I just know my hair is curly as hell and long. Like, that's all I know. I literally wake up, shake it, if not, throw it in the bone. Like, like that's it.
All right, man. Let's, in closing it out, man, tell us what you got. Well, two more questions.
Okay.
What advice would you give to young artists? Well, you already gave this to young black artists that's trying to be successful. I want to always bring it back down to, you know, what's really important and what we really
have
educated. Feed our people, you know, despite all the crazy comments. I know your fans love everybody. Yeah. Y'all tuning in, let's bring it back to something that's positive right now, and let's really get our auras in order and just kind of just talk to us about how you feel about the Breonna Taylor situation in the state of our country right now. Actually, I was going to ask you about being successful, but no, we're going to talk about Breonna Taylor real quick. And just kind of want to hear what you got to say about what's happening in that.
I'm going to first start off by saying, like, I 100% sympathize for her situation. I think the entire world does. And the world has been odd for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's been in a very odd place.
Yeah.
And not just Breonna Taylor, this has been happening. But now that everything is right at our fingertips, we're just more observant to it. We're more exposed to it. You know what I mean? But it's been happening constantly, all the time. I think it's fucking cruel. I think it sucks. You know what I mean? And we have to stand up. We can't be afraid to march and voice our opinions. You know what I mean? Like, just for black men and black women, we have to be bold. No longer holding our tongue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter what we do, they're gonna critique it anyway. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
They're gonna say we're wrong. They're gonna say we're ignorant. They're gonna say whatever the fuck they wanna say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. We have to stand up for what we know is right, and we have to stand up for our people. You get what I'm saying? Because they look at themselves as their people.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we? You know, and just her situation, George Floyd, like every situation that's going on, we have to be loud about it.
Absolutely.
You know? And even myself, I'm trying to get better at it. I try to post here and there, but it's kind of hard for me because for years I suffered from depression, and like I was in extreme impact. When something go on, like I fall into that person's world, and, you know what I mean? And it could just drag me into a very dark place. So even for me, it's been hard to, like, really indulge in that without, you know what I mean, fucking with my own mind, you know? And so I'm still trying to do my best because it's sad. You know what I mean? Like, it's sad. It's so weird to think that, like, killing, not just only because of color, but because your idea of color more so, is a thing. It's something present in 2020.
Absolutely.
Like it's the most crucial, like, it's just hard to fathom. You know what I mean? Like I was just talking to my friends about this. Like, it's crazy. Like, I have, like I said, I come from South Central LA, so I'm always in South Central. I know my people. I feel most comfortable here. You know what I mean? And, like, my neighbor, got a 911 call on him because he had a cell phone, and a neighbor on the block thought it was a gun, literally. And more than 13 cop cars pulled up drawing crazy guns. And I was right there. You know what I mean? And I didn't like really post about it, you know, but I'm there. You know what I mean? Making sure his mom is straight, holding his brother back because they're drawing guns. Like, I'm not afraid to step in front of the gun. You know what I mean? Because, like, this shit is cruel out here. Like, you guys are too nuts. Like, we're not human. Like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, you're demanding us. Like, we're not on the same level of species. You know what I mean? I think it's so fucked up. And it's happening all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we have to be bold. As black men, black women, we have to be bold.
Absolutely. Now, how important is it to just stay away from the negativity and just really embrace everything that's positive in life? You know, talk to us about the laws of attraction for Ray. Like, what does Ray attract? What type of vibes do he come around him?
I'm all about honesty and peace. That's all I want. You know what I mean? I used the word glitch earlier, but you can't allow no one to put a glitch in your world. And nobody can. You know what I mean? Like, understand you're most important and your loved ones are most important at all times. You know what I mean? And everyone should be that way. Everyone should be that way. And we have to understand there's much more love present than there's hate. But hate is more popular.
Absolutely.
You see it more. We indulge in it more. It's like reality TV shows. You watch them more because there's so much negativity going on. It's drama. Drama is very fucking popular. But you have to understand, love is present every single day. No matter the people around you, your situations, it's all about love.
Why is drama so popular, bro? Like, why is it that people keep wanting to need that to function in their day?
Because it's easy. I just told my mom this. It's much easier to do wrong than good. Because to do good and to be loving actually takes energy. Mm-hmm. And though to be angry and evil takes energy too, it's almost effortless. You know what I mean? And it just says, bring it back to black people.
Yeah.
After all we've been through since slavery to now, we're angry. It's almost part of our DNA. So we indulge in more angry because it's all we know. We've been frustrated our whole fucking lives. And our ancestors have been too. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not sure if you've seen, I read an article and seen a video about like how certain TV shows or networks cater to only black people because they know black people are going to indulge in it. And like, that's just an example. Like, this is, it's almost embedded in us until a true change happens. You know what I mean? They know we're going to indulge into the negativity because that's what we grow up around.
Absolutely.
And I want to keep saying I grew up in the hood, but like, I grew up around the gun violence and constantly fighting in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so when you see it on TV and you see other people are doing it, it's almost like the back of your hand, like, oh yeah, watch what this nigga say on Black Ink Crew. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. It's just, but it's just easy all the way around the whole world, not just black people, everybody indulge into it. Because we want to mimic it. We think it's cute to be stubborn and toxic. It's almost like a trend. It's almost like dark clout. Like, you know, like how you got rappers pretending to be sad?
Yeah.
It's almost like a cool thing. And I think that's what people do with negativity.
It's definitely my perspective. Negativity. You know what I'm saying? But, Ray, you definitely gave us everything we wanted to know about you today. The comments. Yeah. No, let me make But, you know what I'm saying? But, man, you definitely been a super dope sport for coming on and just, like, answering some of these questions.
Journey,
bro. Thanks again for coming on Black Culture The Breakdown. And let everybody know what you got going on next, man, and closing it out.
Yes, I'm finishing my album right now. It's already, like, 90% done. Final touches at this point. I'm about to have some videos coming. I'm filming some videos soon. Clothing line. I'm working on a new brand. I've been dabbling into acting. I have a lot going on. But most importantly, I appreciate you having me. Like, honestly, I enjoyed this interview, and thanks for reaching out.
Of course.
Like you said, making those connections.
Absolutely.
Everybody, don't be afraid to reach out.
Absolutely. Man, we're going to definitely connect after this, man, and definitely do some stuff. You got the vibes and the energy, and it's all about just staying connected and doing the work, and I definitely can tell you doing this. You know, shout out to you onto my platform and talking to us, bro. Appreciate that.
Of course. Anytime.
All right, man. All right, guys. Black Culture Breakdown. I'm your boy, Jersey, and this is Ray, and we are out of here for the night. All right.
Yeah.